were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
All right, thanks, Bert. So verse 26 starts off where he says, let us make. And of course, we've already pointed out last week that that us there kind of is already giving a foreshadowing of what the Bible would later describe as the Trinity, God being three persons in one. So, you know, that's there inside verse 26. But he says, let us make man in our image. And that is kind of the crowning point of what it means to be human. What it means to be human is to be made in the image of God. So first let me describe what it means by image. The word image there was the word used for an idol. Like they would make an idol for, the other nations would make an idol for another god. And that's that same thing. So that's that kind of that same picture. It was the idea of looking into a mirror and seeing your reflection. So an image wasn't wasn't a clone of the original. It was like a photo of the original. And he says, therefore, we are like that image. We are like those idols to who God is, which raises the question, what in the world does it mean that we bear God's image? And Christians and Jews too have debated that since Moses wrote this text. What in the world does it mean that we bear God's image? And there's a lot of theories out there. For a while, they thought it meant it was a mental thing, our intelligence, that the image of God had to do with how smart we were. That theory has kind of gone to the side because I feel like there should be more than just smartness and our intelligence when it comes to the image of God. But the quick answer is, I'm going to ask a second what y'all's opinions are, but really the general answer is we don't know for sure what the image of God is, but we know that it means that in some way and in somehow we reflect God like a reflection in a mirror, or like an idol reflected the foreign gods. And that concept has a lot of implications on what we are as humans compared to the rest of creation, and who we are and what we can do as humans compared to the rest of creation. First, and I listed four here in these two verses. First, it means that we are not equal to the rest of creation. There is a concept out there that like us and animals are cousins or brothers and sisters, and that we are kind of equal in everything we have. But the rest of creation, like I love Chewy, but Chewy does not bear the image of God. Creation, animals do not bear God's image like we do. So in the rankings of how important things are in creation, we are more important creation than anything else in creation. We're actually more important than the angels too, according to God. And that's because in some way we bear God's image and they don't, the angels. The image of God, it does not mean that God has a physical body. The Bible, and especially in John, it's clear that God is a spirit. And he might manifest himself in a way that he appears to have a body, but he doesn't have a physical body unless you count Jesus's physical body. When I'm talking about God, I mean like God, the Trinity, doesn't have a physical body. Jesus does as the Son of God, and that's when it gets all kind of confusing. So our appearance doesn't necessarily mean the image of God.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
It says it's made that we are, that humans are made in our image. So does that mean that we possess different qualities of each piece of the Trinity? Like, could you see it that way? Like, oh, well, we look like Jesus because we possess that piece of him.
You know, maybe, but I think the our part probably can talks about more about the qualities that the Trinity shares in common with one another, not the qualities that they have different with one another. You know, some people have talked about the image of God being our ability to create things like art and buildings, because other animals, I mean, some animals can use tools, but man, there's a big difference between using a stick and doing what we can do, you know. But anyways, it's getting off track. Third, the image of God underwrites a lot of the moral things in the Bible. Because the concept is like this: if we bear God's image, then we reflect God somehow, then we should bear his image well. So the question is usually not, are we or are we not being image of God? It's how well are we doing at representing God? You can see the image of God almost as being like his representatives on earth. And that has a lot to do with morality. I mean, it has a lot to do with, you know, if God doesn't, the stipulations in the Bible are all based on God's character. So when God says don't do something, that's because he doesn't do that. And we're not supposed to do it because he doesn't do it. And we're supposed to be images of him. If he says to do something, we're supposed to do it because we're supposed to be images of him. And that's also why we're not supposed to be mean to each other, because as God tells Noah, if to kind of like desecrating an idol was bad juju back then, when we are mean and violent and destructive to other human beings, we are actually being violent against an image of God himself, which is why murder is considered to be a much more serious crime on earth, even in God's eyes, than other sins. Again, this gets back to what I was telling Sunday. Yeah, all sin is equal in one way, but also sins had different consequences on earth, and murder, because it destroys an image bearer of God, definitely has greater consequences on earth than other sins. Same with abuse. Yeah.
Michael, do all humans bear the image of God, regardless of whether or not they're a sinner or not? They still bear that. They still were created in the image of God.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. So, correct. So every human being on earth is made in the image of God, whether you're saved or not saved.
Right.
So that means, again, whatever the image of God is, it is unrelated to your salvation, because unsaved people also bear God's image. They just don't represent him very well. They make him look bad, in other words. And Christians do too. When we sin, we make him look bad. And so to conclude that point, why has God so much emphasis on obedience and doing good? It's because we bear his image and he wants us to look like him. And that's important to him. And then two more about the image of God. Inside verse 28 and verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Josie is just loving running around the church right about now. What y'all are hearing online, you can't see, is not just that she's talking, but she's actually crawling around the church in front of me. She's got a little Pentecostal in her, I'm afraid. I'm not sure how.
That's not bad.
Yeah. She probably heard the sermon when I said you should shout to joy to the Lord. She's taking that real literally right about now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so verse 27, it says male and female who created them. That means that men and women equally have the image of God. That whatever the image of God is, males and females, we are the same. We have equality with that. So our essence, who we are as human beings, we are equal. Now, that doesn't mean that we have the same responsibilities and roles. That's where some people get confused. They think having the same image of God or the same essence and quality means that we are the same in everything. The Trinity is not the same in everything, and it's the three gods in one person. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son all have different things they do, even though they're all God. And that's how we are. Men and women, we are equal because we're all in the image of God, but we also have different things God has told us to do. And that reflects who he is as God. So we have to be careful of one being on one side and saying, well, because we're all equal, therefore everybody should have the same roles, responsibilities, any lines that the Bible draws between men and women, we can cut those out. There shouldn't be any difference between even the way they dress and that kind of stuff. We can just cut. That's one side that's like, no, that bearing the image of God doesn't mean there's no lines. But on the other side, we also have to be careful that we don't fall into the abusiveness, especially what tends to be men over women, where men begin to think that they bear God's image more than women so they can inflict abuse upon them. That's not the image of God either there. And then finally, because of sin, obviously, we don't bear God's image perfectly in what we do. The only person who's done that is Christ. And that's what it says in Hebrews, that he is the perfect image of God. Therefore, if we want to get back to the very good that he describes in verse 31, we have to get back to being the image bearers that God has created us to be, which means we have to become more like the perfect image bearer who's Christ. So the more we become like Christ, the more we become like God, the more we become who God created us to be, the more we get back to what the Bible describes as very good. And again, that's why I was saying, like, these verses are so, like, all these words are so impactful, because what he says here provides the foundation of so much that happens in Scripture and so much of what we do. Why is it we do what we do? Because we're image bearers of God, trying to become more and more like Christ, who is the perfect image of God, so that we can be the people God created us to be. So let me stop right there before we go into verse 28 and ask, is there any other questions about what it means to be made in the image of God, or about anything else you see in verses 26 or 27?
Brother Michael?
Yes.
Does this not mean he created mankind and he created a lot of men and a lot of men and a lot of women? And then later it narrows down to Adam and Eve, but is this not saying that he's creating mankind, men and women, in verses that follow, they were to replenish the earth? Do you feel like he created one man and one woman, or that he created a whole group, men and women?
That's a good question. So chapter 1, which actually ends in verse 3 of chapter 2, which is so annoying, is kind of a overview of creation. And then in chapter 2, it like pauses and zooms in on that sixth day of creation and gives a more detailed account of what God actually did. So in verse 26, God created only one man and one woman, Adam and Eve. But since this is a general overview, it doesn't give those details again until it zooms in chapter 2. So it's, you got to think of chapter 1 and chapter 2 as happening at the same time and not as happening one after the other. Verse 26 on is happening the same time as chapter 2.
Being in the image of God, correspond to everyone has a knowledge of God, that there's a God.
Yeah.
Regardless. Mm-hmm. And being in his image reflects us knowing that there is a God, there is right and wrong, regardless.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you could, it probably is connected to that. I mean, we clearly have a connection to God that animals don't have, and even people who aren't saved have that connection to God. And so I do believe that everybody in their hearts feels something. They know that they're missing something. And I don't think everybody realizes it's God that's causing that, but I think everybody feels like there's something about them that's missing. And that's probably, it could be connected to the fact that we are image bearers of God.
If you look at why we're created in his image, I mean, you know, there in verse 26, it says, so you can rule over the fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, so the why is so we can rule.
Yeah.
So in order to rule, you have to be able to make decisions,
mm-hmm.
make choices, and moral choices.
Yeah.
So that goes back to the morality
yeah.
that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what makes us different. The animals. Fish, they can't make moral choices.
Yeah, they can't. They're based on pain, you know, punishment or reward. Right. It's not based on morality. You know, my dog comes to me because I give him a treat. He doesn't come to me because it's good for him to obey me, you know. yeah, and you know that's what makes the image of God thing so complex, because I don't think it's one thing. Because it's clear that the image of God also, like you said, is related to having authority over creation, which the only other person who has that authority is God. So God has it and we have it. So that's clearly something we share in common with God that he didn't give to anything else in creation. And so that's, like you said, and that involves things that we can do that animals can't do, therefore. I do want to, before I forget, want to point out one thing I forgot to mention in the Hebrew. When it says in verse 27, male and female, he created them. The Hebrews had two words for men and women. They had one for, I guess it's the same way we do, really. They had a word that meant men and a word that meant male, as in like biological sex, male. And they had a word that meant women and word that meant female, as in the biological sex, female. The difference with the Hebrews and what people are doing today in America is that they connected, they never separated how one person acted with their biological sex. That's a new thing in history. And so in verse 27, he actually uses the words male and female. The biological sex, male and female. So it becomes clear in verse 27 that he's making a distinction that there are only two sexes and only two genders. There's the male gender and there's the female gender. And with that word comes the connotation that the male, there's only two ways to reflect that. If you're a male with your sex, then you're going to be a male with your gender, and all the responsibilities God gives males you have, and the same with females. And so that's why inside Leviticus, when he does bring up the idea of homosexuality and transgenderism in Leviticus, that he calls it an abomination. And there's only a few sins that he calls an abomination in the Old Testament, because that actually already goes against something that's said in the first 27 verses of the whole Bible. And that continues on into the New Testament with 1 Timothy, Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 6. So there is a very strong linguistic connection here to there being only two genders, regardless of what our culture tries to argue for.
I was watching an interview the other night of a lady who played in a movie. I don't even know. Ellen Page.
Yeah, Ellen Page.
And so now she's going by
She's Elliot.
Elliot.
Elliot, and she's not a she. She's a man. And
yeah.
Crazy, crazy. That was all I don't need before. Mm-hmm.
I think so. She should be Elliot on ET and just go back. Elliot.
Michael, does a mental illness relieve you of a lot of the responsibilities of being in the image of God?
Are you talking about like depression or like being Down syndrome? Like, what do you mean by mental illness?
What do I mean by mental illness? Not having the, let's just talk about someone that's schizophrenic, for yeah. example, or someone that is antisocial. Does that relieve them of, how will they be treated? The same standard as us?
I think God, there's not a Bible passage that talks like to that question. I can give you my personal opinion based on how I believe God's character is on my reading of scripture. I think God takes into account our abilities when he treats us in that way. I think somebody, mental illness is kind of a broad, that's what I was asking, because like somebody who has depression, I personally don't think that's something that they can be absolved from yeah. morality because they have depression. Right. When you talk about somebody that maybe is severe schizophrenic, like has saying word salad, has no idea where they are, just completely has no mental ability whatsoever because of that. You know, that falls more in the line of, I feel like the people who are born with mental disabilities that are so severe that they never really mature mentally. Like I had an aunt who was born with a severe mental disability, and she died when she was in her 20s because of it, but she never really got over the mental age of like a 3-year-old. So I don't think God's going to judge her at her age as a 20-something year old. He's going to judge her as if she had the mental ability of a 3-year-old. Yeah, or someone that has dementia that is doing things because they have dementia now. Because as you know, there's a lot of people when they get dementia, they become mean. And, that kind of falls in the same category.
Well, some of us have the intelligence to worship more profoundly, I guess maybe is the right word, than others. For example, I had a retarded brother who's just, he's an angel as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But he didn't understand, a lot that was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, like I said, on people like that, I think God judges them based on their mental ability, not their physical age.
That's right.
Well, I thought this was going to take a lot of time, and I was right. So I'm actually going to stop there before we get to verse 28. Because in verse 28, we start talking a little bit more about what we're supposed to do as image bearers. And we'll talk about that next week, because we're already out of time this week. But Jim, if you would, could you pray and close us out?
Yeah.
One minute. I missed something. I have a suggestion. Chalkboard outline that you do. That's all I'm going to say.
She's saying... You want a chalkboard with an outline?
You want me to pull the whiteboard back out?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be glad to do it.
Okay.
Father, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of these Wednesday night prayer meetings. Father, with it, where we listen to one another and we learn from one another, mm-hmm. and each of us, we may have different views, but we, when we express those to one another, we gain knowledge. Knowledge is something that we need to share. And I find anytime anyone in this group speaks up, I feel like I'm learning something. And thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for that privilege of being here. Thank you for Michael and the effort that he puts into each one of these meetings.
Yes.
And thank you for every person that is here. I just pray, Lord, that somehow we can get more people involved in these studies. I think they would benefit tremendously if we could get a larger number of people involved in learning. Thank you, Father, again, for all that you do for us. And thank you for being who you are and what you've done for us. And we truly, truly love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Love y'all.
Love
you.
Y'all, everybody.
Bye.
See y'all.
Bye, Mary.
Bye, Jen. Love you. Love everybody. Good seeing everybody.
I like this look with the light behind me.
Oh, you're back. That's the
high
low.
I thought that was the high low. Huh? So it is. Thank you, Brenda. It is. That's live.
How do you girls get on here with your see each other? You have to push the plus button.
You do the video.
Until she
has
all the steps. Yeah.
Are you walking her?
With them.
Mary.
Yes.
When you come on. When you first come on, it'll ask you, do you want to be with video?
She just turns her
heart. You just say yes.
Okay.
It gives you that option when you come on.
If I don't want to, I just cut off.
Correct. But we want to see your face.
Yeah, we want to see you.
I don't think you want to see my face.
Yes, we do.
My light burned out, so I've got to do something else.
You look good, Theora.
Oh, you look good. As long as I'm in the dark, I look good.
Yeah.
And the Christmas train.
Molly, won't I show her?
Thank you for sharing that about Doris. I didn't know.
The sheep goes toward it.
Daddy.
I mean,
we have to keep it up.
Well, I don't remember which one, Andrew, Noah, one. I called in there, even though. Well, I mean, I think every kid.
Yeah.
Bye, y'all.
Ooh.
I think every kid has heard it all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Have a good rest of the week.
All right. We'll see ya.